big man. Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Very, very, very ironic start to that. As all of you know, that's how we start up every show. We have the Triple H DX intro, per se, back from the Attitude Era, and Triple H actually on our screen right now. This is Over the Ropes with Jason and Chris here at the Overtime.news, the hottest sports and pop culture site on the internet right now. And this is our Monday night show. For those of you who may be first-time listeners, this is what we do. We sit here the last hour of Raw. We give you our take on the last hour of Raw and what's happening, what's going on, our opinion on it, as well as some topics. We do have some structure, a little bit anyway. And we have right now the caller, Jason Cordonnier, one of our pop culture and New York sports, aficionados, you can call it. And he is going to be at the Barclays Center, calling in live from the Barclays Center, the Raw before WrestleMania. Jason is here today on the phone with us, though. Jason, how goes it this evening?
Everything's going good. How's everybody doing out there? Good, decent Raw so far, much better than last week, I must say.
Yeah, to start, sure. I don't know how they're going to end this. I mean, I know that they've been teasing all night long the Undertaker coming back and confronting the McMahons. So that's going to be an interesting way to do it. Right now, though, Triple H versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph came out and talked about Stephanie and how, you know, he busts his butt every week and this and that, has nothing to lose, all this. So she put him in a match against Triple H. So this is weird because Triple H pretty much exclusively only wrestles at pay-per-views now. We get to see the game on Raw. Just another desperate move, I think, from Creative to get some ratings before WrestleMania, because we haven't seen Triple H fight on Raw in, what, like 5 years, probably?
They said officially it's been 3 years. Not since the whole Shield and Evolution.
Yeah, yes.
Back and forth that was going on a couple years ago. But it goes to show you how bad depleted the roster is if the COO is wrestling on Monday Night Raw.
And, you know, he still looks big. He still has the same entrance. He just doesn't look like – I mean, again, I've been watching WWE Network, watching the Attitude Era from 97 to – I'm on mid-2001 right now, getting towards the end of 2001. Doesn't look like the same game. He just doesn't have the same quickness, doesn't have the same sort of, you know, ability to do a lot of different things. But he's still a refrigerator with legs. He's still huge. And he's still able to sort of be that intimidating presence, whereas Dolph Ziggler is a little bit more of the high flyer. He's a little quicker. He's a lot younger. This is a match, however, where I think it would be safe to say, even though Ziggler is a mainstay on Raw for the past decade. I mean, he has been one of the big, you know, sometimes he'll be in minimal storylines, sometimes he'll be in the world title picture. It really depends what they feel like doing with him. I don't think it's too far out there to say, though, that if Ziggler somehow wins this match, it will be a monumental upset.
Definitely, but I don't know if they're going to want to chance that, considering that we haven't seen Roman Reigns in a couple of weeks, and Triple H, he looked impressive against Dean Ambrose on Roadblock. You don't want to take that away from him. You want to keep building the steam as he heads to WrestleMania. Dolph, I don't know what they're going to do with Dolph, but then again, we don't know what they're going to do with half the roster.
Well, Dolph said he wants a title shot, and Stephanie said she would give him any title other than the world title, but he has to beat Triple H tonight in order to get that shot. So I think this could possibly set up an Intercontinental-type shot for him because, I mean, you look at creative, and yes, I understand that, you know, if Triple H wins, they're trying to push this whole authority always wins thing and blah, blah, blah. But it's really kind of a wasted match if Ziggler doesn't win, because then what was the whole point of wasting a 20-minute segment of them talking and Ziggler coming out and all that if he doesn't win, unless you're getting to the point where, okay, the authority always wins. They could perhaps twist this so that Roman Reigns doesn't win at Mania, which I don't think a lot of people want him to. And what they could be doing, yeah, I think what they could be doing here is having the authority take, you know, the authority win at Mania and setting this up as, okay, well, let's say Shane McMahon somehow gets by The Undertaker. Then you've got Triple H, who's the COO, but also the world champion. They come out the next night on Raw, and then what's going to happen? I think that would be a lot more interesting to see what Shane McMahon's decision is on Triple H being not only the COO, but also the world champion. So that might be, I think, what they're doing now that they know that these crowds just don't like Roman.
Yeah, they definitely have to switch stuff up because, I mean, like what I was telling you in post-production is the whole Roman Reigns being built as this, you know, this face, but yet we haven't seen him on television. The fans boo him no matter where he goes. I mean, they would have been better off with Dean Ambrose. I like what they're doing with Dean, the whole him and Brock Lesnar, the passing of the torch with Mick Foley, because Dean is kind of like that in-between Mick Foley, Stone Cold kind of like, you know, F authority, I'm going to do my own thing. And he did wrestle a good match on Roadblock, even though the pay-per-view special wasn't all that, but I did enjoy that match.
We may also have Dustin calling in. Dustin, a co-founder of Overtime.News, along with myself. He does not like the NXT presence on the pay-per-views, was not wild about the NXT tag match. He's got some strong opinions regarding that, so we'll see what he has to say when he does decide to make his appearance. I mean, whenever you hear some random music, whether it's CM Punk or whoever it is, then you'll know he's on the line. He usually tries to cut in, you know, whenever it's convenient. So we'll be waiting for him. Also may have a very special guest coming in today. I'm not going to give you guys I will give you a clue. I'll be a nice guy because we're on commercial now. It is. I'm trying to think here. Let's see. Okay. Well, no, because this might be too obvious if I give this. I was going to say something about he was endorsing a particular food product, but if I tell you what it is, it might be a bit too obvious for our listeners. So I will say this. The person who will be calling in tonight was also a baseball player in his early days, and that's what I'm going to leave it at now. He was a good baseball player turned wrestler and was arguably one of the creative and entertaining of the wrestlers throughout his day. And hopefully we will get him. I'm waiting for a text message from him to make sure that he's good to go on that. But while we sit here, it is March 14th. March Madness started. Selection Sunday was yesterday. The first play-in games are tomorrow. And so I figured we're not going to do a full bracket right now. It's not something that, you know, it'll take a whole show just to do a whole bracket. So we're going to do that bracket on the website. But since it is March Madness, right now, if we had number one seeds, there's four number one seeds right now. I was kind of looking at this, and I'm like, okay, I don't think there's enough talent on the current roster to have four number one seeds on this current roster and still have enough people left over to fill a full field. So let's go with, if we had number one seeds, I'm going to say of all time, okay, who would your four number one seeds be? We're going to do both. We're going to say, okay, what were your number one seeds be of all time and in a bracket, and who would your number one seeds be currently based on? You can use NXT, you can use TNA, you can use whatever you want. So right now, though, I have four that I would have to say. Mine are pretty cliche and obvious. You might have a different opinion, though. Who would your one seeds be right now in a March Madness wrestling tournament?
Let me see. March Madness wrestling tournament, I would definitely go with, my number one seeds would be Ric Flair.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit surprising.
Flair in the South. I'm going to go with Flair with the East. I'm going to go with Stone Cold in the South.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And for my last number four, I'm gonna throw a curveball, and I'm gonna go the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
For a one seed, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I knew it was gonna be different. I knew it was gonna be different than mine. Because you have a little bit different, I guess, taste in wrestlers and stuff. Mine's gonna be a little cliche and obvious, and that's just simply because I guess a boring person. I don't know, but I guess I would put my one seed in the East. Oh, you know what? I'll switch that. I'll get to the East in a second. My one seed in the South. My one seed in the South would have to be The Rock, because he's from Miami, and arguably. Throughout from late 99 through 2003 was probably the biggest name to come through there, and still today is probably one of the orchestrators of all that. I would say, you know what, for the East, I'm going to say Paul Levesque, who is also known as Triple H. Yes, from New Hampshire. He's from Concord, New Hampshire, born there, obviously billed from Greenwich, Connecticut, so he's from the East. Now, West is shocking to me because West would be Stone Cold, probably, but also you think Undertaker's technically from Death Valley, which is California.
True.
But you know what? I'll go with Stone Cold because he's been the big champion. He's been all that. So that just leaves the Midwest. Now, the Midwest is interesting because how many wrestlers are actually from the Midwest? There's probably a lot, but how many have been super successful being billed from the Midwest? And that's sort of what I'm looking at here. When you say the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, where is he from exactly?
I was under the impression he's from, you know what, I don't want to give out the wrong information, but I was under the impression that he was from Texas.
Okay. But again, though, it doesn't necessarily have to be where they're from. It's just what bracket you would put them in. I'm going to, let's see here, WWE wrestlers from the Midwest here. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to look at it geographically and where they're from. I'm just going to put them at all time based on my knowledge, of course. I know that there's a lot of older wrestling fans who may put guys before the Attitude Era in there. I'm going to say Hulk Hogan.
Okay. He was a two-seed for me. Hogan was a two-seed for me.
Oh, he was a two-seed. Okay. I got to put him just because I know him and because of how instrumental he was to everything that wrestling has become today. To me, Shawn Michaels is a two seed, and that's simply because I haven't gotten a chance to. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see a lot of Shawn Michaels. I mean, I really only started watching end of '97, early '98. Michaels was pretty much gone by that point. I didn't get to see a lot of the Michaels stuff that Dustin talks so highly about and that everyone talks about. So to me, it just didn't resonate with me that way. So, but I do like Michaels. I know what he means to the business. Bret Hart would also probably be a three seed. Owen Hart would be up there, probably a three seed in one of the brackets. But for the one seeds, I think it's cool. Why are you putting? I know he's a. I think he's the leader in terms of total number of titles. But why do you put Ric Flair in there?
Only because when I think of the South and I think of March Madness, I think of North Carolina, I think of Duke, and nobody represents Charlotte in the whole state of North Carolina more than Ric Flair. I mean, his style, to me, Ric Flair is like the hip-hop equivalent of Biggie Small. What I mean by that is their style, their DNA, you see it throughout all the wrestlers. Nobody worked the mic better than Ric Flair in his heyday. And
true.
That's he pretty much started that whole, microphone gimmick talking. It wasn't Hogan with the Say Your Prayers and Eat Your Vitamins. It was Ric Flair talking about his watches, the Four Horsemen. You know, he did a lot for wrestling.
You know, the thing is with Ric Flair with me is most of my Ric Flair experience came in WCW. Not quite old enough to see him in WWE performing, or WWF at the time performing. So I understand that, and I actually am waiting on this text message from another wrestler who I think very possibly could have gotten, as I pull this up here, very very easily could have gotten at least a three seed at the very lowest, but possibly a two seed in a lot of people's brackets, and that person's going to probably be calling us up here pretty soon, give us his take on a few things. We're going to talk to him about a couple of current issues going on as well. He's an instrumental figure in wrestling, and I know he probably has a strong opinion about what's going on right now as well. So I will wait for him to call. I just told him to call in. So we also are going to talk about possibly, we mentioned the Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame, those events and things are going on. Who's in right now or who's not in right now that you feel maybe should be in?
Number one, by a landslide, is Owen Hart. Owen Hart should have been in maybe like 5 years ago. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He did a lot of great things. You know, he died in the ring, unfortunately.
He did.
But before that, I mean, before the Blue Blazer.
99, I mean, over the edge.
Yeah, that WrestleMania 10 match with his brother was a classic. It was an instant classic. He's a former King of the Ring winner, multiple-time tag team champion, intercontinental champion, European champion. The man, he was Eli before Eli Manning, literally. But with much better talent.
Yeah, I mean, sorry all Giants fans out there. I do agree with that. Also, I remember watching some of those old clips, and he was in some of the biggest storylines. And look at this. Yeah. Oh, Triple H kicked out. Look at that. I knew that was coming. He was in some of the bigger storylines, his battles with The Rock and different things. So I don't know. I like Owen Hart. Or who else? Is there anybody else you're thinking that's not in right now that should be?
Christian. You can't have Edge in there without Christian. You know, they were a great tag team. Christian was a former World Heavyweight Champion, multiple-time Intercontinental Champion. I don't know when they're going to wait to bring him in, but he's definitely deserving of Hall of Fame. And the last but not least, I'm going to go with Psycho Sid.
Psycho Sid into the Hall of Fame. Okay.
Yeah, he should have been in the Hall of Fame. He's in my Twitter Hall of Fame right now. I mean, if you're not following this guy on Twitter, you need to. He shoots the breeze straight through, and he holds no punches. But, yeah, Psycho Sid, not just for what he did in WWE, but also his WCW work, he deserves to be Hall of Fame. I mean, there's so many people in the Hall of Fame that don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, why is the Godfather in the Hall of Fame? The Godfather, that wasn't even his best gimmick, because his best gimmick was Papa Shango, but that's another debate for another time.
I thought you were going to say right to censor. We're talking about dead. We're talking about dead superstars who are in the Hall of Fame. Eddie Guerrero is one of them. Chris Benoit, I'm thinking, may also probably be up there, even though he was a psycho and killed his whole family.
Oh, yeah, but
I do have a superstar who is in the Hall of Fame, at least as far as I know. Oh, yep, there he is, right there. Just got it. He was actually 2015 Hall of Fame inductee, and he is live with us right now calling in because I'm that good and I have those connections.
Nothing means nothing. Nothing.
We have the Macho Man Randy Savage on the line with us. Macho Man, what's going on, man?
No, Christopher McSwiggin, coming in on the talk radio, I tried to find on my FMAN tuner in heaven. I could not find it, oh no. I had to go onto the internet, and find that talk show. And here I am, the Macho Man in all of his glory. Yeah.
The cream of the crop, right? I remember that speech you gave.
Oh, yeah, me and Gene Okerlund, back when I was doing a promo, Hulk Hogan, he said to me, I bet you couldn't do that, brother. Well, I'm going to show you something, the Macho Man is number one, baby,
So, Macho Man, you got in 2015. Guys who got in before you, Paul Bearer, Carlos Colon, who was Carlito, who came in and he sort of introduced him, Carlos Colon. I don't know if a lot of people know him. Razor Ramon got in. Lita got in before you. Jake the Snake Roberts, Ultimate Warrior, Booker T. Why did they take so long to put you in the Hall of Fame, man? You've been dead for a little while.
Something about that always never really bothered the Macho Man too much, because the Macho Man, what I always did, was I always just kind of took it as, hey, you're going to have your time in the sun, all that good stuff, and I'll tell you, some other guys, they got their place in and that's all fine and dandy, but let me tell you something, the Macho Man is here now, and it took the WWE, as that's what they call it nowadays, because back when I was in it was the World Wrestling Federation until a couple bandas got upset, what I'm saying? So all
a couple
of a sudden
pandas.
Now, they couldn't
those pandas
the Macho
always
Man,
causing problems. Those pandas are causing problems for everybody.
I'm going to take a steel chair right to those goddamn pandas. I don't even care. But anyway, as I was saying, though, the Macho Man knows that it took a little while to understand the greatness, the madness, if you will, of the Macho Man.
So Macho Man, let me ask you, you've been watching a little bit of WWE lately. You've been interested in it. Right now.
Yeah, you know, up in heaven, you know, I can only body slam Andre the Giant so many times, you know, so I got to do something with my time, yeah.
And you know, you're breaking off Slim Jims out there and you're wearing your headbands. I understand that. You've been watching some WWE lately. Right now, what's going on? Who are you really feeling is having the same kind of impact that you had when you were here in WWE right now?
Well, first off, Chris, I'm going to tell you something right now. Yeah, nobody, and I mean nobody, has the impact that the Macho Man Randy Savage brought to the ring. Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you a couple things that I've been looking around, kind of seeing here. You know, one thing I will say is, of course, The Undertaker come WrestleMania. You know, he's always known for the NFL match. Yeah, but would they putting him up against Shane McMahon? What the hell is Vince thinking? I have no idea now. Vince, Shane McMahon comes out a few weeks ago, yeah, wearing his Air Jordans, yeah, in a suit saying, oh, I'm going to take over Monday Night Raw, yeah. But all of a sudden, let's put him in a place where you have the greats like Mick Foley. Yeah, he's going up against Hell in a Cell, putting the thumbtacks down, choke slam on him, and then off the cell. And that's the kind of greatness you look at. And maybe 15 years ago, the Macho Man would have said, you know, with those Monday Night Wars, yeah, the Macho Man could have seen Shane doing that. But nowadays, I'm looking at him. He's got no place in the ring like that. Yeah, he should be out in a bar like the Silver Fox that he looks like, yeah, picking up some little 23-year-old hotties, yeah. But I'll tell you something, yeah, Undertaker, he's always got the Macho Man's respect.
And let me ask you another question real quick, Macho Man, and then I see if Jason possibly has something to ask you. I'm looking through some of your career highlights here, and obviously, you know, you were in WCW for a while, obviously WWE. I'm watching Roman Reigns attack Triple H right now, and it kind of reminds me, Roman Reigns is the guy right now, okay? Obviously, the fans don't like him. You got huge fan support. People still are wearing your T-shirts, still are buying your stuff. People don't really like Roman Reigns. Triple H, arguably the biggest heel of all time, probably the best heel of all time. Do you feel that if you were still wrestling throughout the WWF Attitude Era from 97 to 2000, and well, I mean, you were partially, but I mean, if you were in that era with Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H in his heyday and all that, do you still feel like you'd be the best WWF champion that they had?
Well, you know, Chris, that's a loaded question you got there for the Macho Man. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something.
Of course
it
is,
Macho. In that beginning era, you know, I was with the WCW. Yeah, you know, they were going on all that crazy stuff. But, you know, a lot of things the Macho Man had do in life, you know, kind of took away from going there. You know, I decided to pursue more of an acting career, all that other good stuff. I do a lot of voice actors. And let's face it, who doesn't know the line, Bone Saw is ready? Yeah. But that's what I'm trying to say here. Hold on a second. The Macho. Hold on. Yeah, Elizabeth. Hold on there, Chris.
Oh, you're still with Elizabeth. That's interesting. I thought for sure Elizabeth was going
to
the other.
The Macho Man had to get some PB Crisps and Surge. Yeah, they still have the stuff up in heaven. You know, I love that stuff myself. But as I was saying, you know, if you look at all the WWE or F greats or whatever you want to call it at this point, yeah, you got Roman Reigns, Triple H. And I'll tell you, both those guys in the ring, they have my respect. Roman Reigns, on the other hand, I mean, if you look at the creative, you see, they don't really have much with him to do, you see, because back in my day, let me tell you, oh, yeah, you had a lot more creativity going on there, you know. Like, if the Macho Man wanted to do something on the ring, yeah, you know, the Macho Man would do it. If I wanted to bring out my cup of coffee or my cream of the crop, yeah, I could do that. Nowadays, it seems like everything's all scripted, all manually done, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're a legend, like the Macho Man.
Well, Macho Man, Roman Reigns.
Night, like Mick Foley bringing out the bat with the barbed wire, yeah. You can do that, yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. With Roman Reigns, he has not proven himself yet to be one of the greats. If you want him to be, they're doing the build-up, but unfortunately, the money shot has not come yet. Oh, no, he has not dropped the elbow from the gates of heaven like the Macho Man could.
Speaking of money shots, how's Elizabeth doing up there?
Yeah, you know, she's doing good up here. Yeah, you know, we decide to do a little bit of reconciliation. We figure, hey, you know, what's eternity going on here? Yeah, right? So nowadays, she just feeds me, you know, PB Crisp and the Orbitz soda there that they had. They don't make it anymore for humans. No, no. But up in heaven, you can get whatever you want. Yeah.
See, she cheated on you so many times, one of which being with Hulk Hogan. I would have thought she went the other way. But that's just me. Jason, do you have anything
to
ask
the
Macho Man?
Well, let me tell you something, though, Chris. I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, okay.
Macho Man
continue.
Has ways of doing celestial magic, yeah. The Macho Man took from Hulk Hogan. Do you see his name in the WWE Hall of Fame anymore?
Well,
the proverbial
not yet.
Elbow from the gates of heaven, yeah. Who do you think released that tape to the media? And that was the Macho Man.
Oh, it wasn't Bubba the Love Sponge.
That was going to be my question. My question was going to be is how does the Macho Man really feel about Hulk Hogan? Does he think he's a two-time snake?
Well, you know something? I'll tell you though, my friend. Yeah, the Macho Man knows that, you know, Hulk Hogan back in the heyday, you know, WrestleMania 5, yeah, you know, it was all professional, yeah, you know. We weren't hanging out all buddy, all this other stuff, you know. But one thing you can tell from Randy Savage, from Hulk Hogan, yeah, is that afterwards, you know, I kind of let him a little bit low, you know, did some voice acting, you know, I was on freaking Dexter's Lab, for God's sakes, you know, we did the Spider-Man movies, you know, that was all good, but mostly I kind of played it cool. You look at Hulk Hogan, yeah, he can't get enough of his ego, I'll tell you, you look at that Hogan knows best, yeah, you know, he got a wife there, and yeah, she left him for some little kid, you know.
19-year-old,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's what Elizabeth did, but I'll tell you something, yeah. If I was that kind of man where I had a whore for a wife, and let's face it, I mean, you look at Brooke, yeah, she ain't doing too well for herself. You know, trying
She's
to
a
get
smoke
her, I don't know what's going on there. Oh, I'll tell you, the Macho Man would be laying elbows in heaven, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, it's kind of crazy what's going on with that whole show. I'll tell you, the Macho Man, from my personal perspective, you know, I wouldn't be all down for that, you know? Yeah, I mean, entertainment's one part. You got to have a personal life, too, yeah.
Hell yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage has calling us live from the gates of the abyss right now. Macho Man Randy Savage, one of the top, arguably, WCW superstars, if not the top of all time, a big-time WWE guy as well. We have to see WWE now so you don't get a lawsuit from those damn pandas. So WWE now. One last thing here for you, because I know you probably got a lot of heaven stuff going on. Triple H, just to give the listeners an update, Triple H won the match over Dolph Ziggler. I keep calling him Ziggler. Roman Reigns appeared. Average crowd response. Beat the hell out of Triple H, did what he did to him, went down to the back of the locker room. Triple H is all bloody and bruised and beaten up. You know, big build-up to WrestleMania here. Macho Man, I'm going to ask you a question here real quick. Do you feel, because I know that you were involved in some great storylines throughout the history of the business, do you feel that sticking with Roman Reigns, which is, this is another topic we have coming up here, but sticking with Roman Reigns is best for business right now, or should they shift gears and possibly give somebody else a push? Because Roman Reigns isn't you. He's not Hulk Hogan. He's not Ric Flair. Roman Reigns really doesn't have that pop that you have. He's not as good as a mic, not as good on the mic as you were. So Macho Man, tell me right now, if Roman Reigns is the guy, great. If not, who would you give that title shot to at WrestleMania if you had the chance today, Macho Man, if you were the commissioner?
Well, I'll tell you something there, Chris. You know, that's a good question you say there. And one thing I'd like to bring up is that when you mentioned storyline, yeah, I mean, if you look at the storylines from back when, you know, the WWF was at its peak, and I say peak back when the, you know, Hulkamania and the Macho Madness were in town, yeah, you really look at all that, you know, there was story going on there, you know, but we all tied it together, you know, and a lot of times you would take Hulkamania, WrestleMania, I mean, Hulkamania, oh God, anyway, so you're taking that, you take WrestleMania as your main coup d'etat, you take that as your climax point for any plot development you got going on. Now, if you take a look, last year at WrestleMania, you have Roman Reigns in the main event with Brock Lesnar, yeah. And then you have Seth Rollins come out, who, let's face it, as much of a heel he was a pretty damn good heel. And I think most people would probably say that is the case, yeah. Now, the one thing is you have Roman Reigns chasing him around. Ooh, yeah, it was on Shield, yeah. But let me tell you something, he did not have the madness. And at this point, in my opinion, you know, he would be just kind of a Roman dog looking for something to latch onto. Yeah, I mean, his mic skills were not as good as the Macho Man.
I don't think anybody's
going to Sport Dallas, for God's sake. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Hold on, Elizabeth's back.
Elizabeth is back. Oh boy! All right, Jason, we're gonna let Macho Man go drink his sodas and eat his Slim Jims here.
No, I'm back. Hold on, Macho Man's back. Yeah. Anyway, as I was saying, what other brought you so brought up is someone had a chance to go for the World Wrestling Heavyweight Champion? Yeah. That's a good question, you know. There's a couple guys I think that really you could make a good push for, yeah, you know, like, obviously, you probably want a big guy. You know, Vince likes those big guys. Yeah, you're probably looking at Ryback if you're going to go from that point of view, you know. But at the same time, you know, you look at other guys that have really good mic skills, you know, that they also have the crowd pop up like that. Yeah. So obviously, you have Brock Lesnar, and even surprisingly, Dean Ambrose, yeah. But, you know, he's not going to be a world heavyweight champion guy. You're looking at more like an American title, Intercontinental, something like that. Yeah.
Jason, do you have one more question for the Macho Man here before we let him go have some anger bangs with Elizabeth?
Oh, Macho, it's been a pleasure hearing your voice again. You just got to let us know, how is Eddie Guerrero treating up you guys up there in heaven?
You know, Jason, that's a good question. You know, I see Eddie Guerrero every Friday night, you know, yeah. We've been teaching Jesus how to do some crazy suplexes, yeah. And, you know, he's doing pretty good for himself, you know. I mean, he's been real crazy and all when I see him, but unfortunately, I don't get to see him all the time, you know. He's spending way too much time there. You know, Rowdy Piper got up here a little while ago, you know, and he's been really trying to do a lot with them, you know. One of his favorite movies, oddly enough, is that one where he fights, what's the Anderson guy there? Yeah. So he tries to reenact that a bunch of times, you know. They tried to do it on South Park, but they did not do it very good. Oh, no. So that's what they've been doing. Otherwise, so, Class A guy. Clearly, he's a good guy because he's up here and he's not down there where Hulk Hogan's going to be. Oh, no.
Has he been teaching you any Spanish?
No.
No, no. All right, Macho Man.
Macho Madness, so no hablo español.
based on what we saw today, it looks like Ric Flair might be next. So we might want to hold a spot for him up there. Ric Flair's getting up there in age. So Macho, again, thank you. You're welcome to call in whenever you want, man. Normally we have some other topical questions for you. You're welcome to spend the whole show with us.
Don't you worry,
like.
Chris. You know, this won't be the last you hear of the Macho Man. Oh, no. Because I'm just getting
well, Macho
started.
Man.
Yeah.
Macho Man lives forever in our hearts, and hopefully he'll be able to join us for a little longer next time. I know he's got some stuff going on up there today with Rowdy Piper. And can you imagine Rowdy Piper and Eddie Guerrero and Macho Man in the same room?
Talk about
frat parties. Good Lord. All right, Macho Man, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll hear from you in the next coming weeks. You can stick around with us a little longer, and we'll go from there.
You are very welcome, gentlemen. You have a wonderful night now. Macho Man is out.
Tell Elizabeth I said
thanks,
hi. So Macho Man Randy Savage joining us live from heaven. Now, a lot of people were probably going to ask themselves, if they didn't know Macho Man was dead and had been dead for some years now, would probably be like, oh, man, he knows the Macho Man. Well, I do know that. I did know the Macho Man. I know Hulk Hogan. I knew the Macho Man beforehand. So I have connections. I have outer-worldly connections. The Queensport edition. Of Over the Ropes today, calling live. This was more like a seance, really. So we summoned the Macho Man. That was all great. He gave us the opinions. Now I'm going to ask you. We got Macho's opinion. Now I'm going to ask you, is sticking with Dean Ambrose, now, with Roman Reigns, rather, what we saw just a second ago, Roman Reigns come out, attack Triple H, the fight broke out into the back, bloodied up Triple H a little bit, is sticking with him despite not having a great fan reaction, is it best for business? I mean, basically, they continue. What is the allure with Roman Reigns? Why does this company feel like Roman Reigns has to be their top guy at this point? Is it best for business dealing with the boos and continually trying to build him up every week? Or should they maybe shift gears to Dean in order to give that face sort of the push again that they've always done throughout their history?
I say switch it towards Dean. You know, here's a funny thing about WrestleMania. Roman Reigns could be a three-time champ by the time WrestleMania is over, and none of his reigns were as good as Rollins won the title reign. You know what I mean? Like, that's something to think about right there. So, again, I think they have no choice right now, but they have to force-feed us Roman Reigns. A lot of the wrestlers are hurt. I mean, if Cena was around, we would have got force-fed Cena, but we would have enjoyed it. We would have enjoyed our foodie on Pebbles. We would have enjoyed it. But now this, I mean, I say let Reigns win the title and then give us what we really want at SummerSlam
which I'm going to get your tickets for you, Chris. You got to make a trip to Brooklyn for SummerSlam at Barclays Center.
SummerSlam, you know what? That's
we
not
might have
that far.
Shield, triple threat.
Well, one, that's not that far away. Two, that's not that far from me up here in upstate New York. So that's definitely something I could do. Why is R-Truth wearing – oh, he's wearing the Penguins mask. I get it. They're in Pittsburgh. I'm like, why is he wearing a
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so why the hell is he wearing a Penguin outfit? Well, this wasn't really part of the thing, and I'll give you my take on Reigns in a second, but should this whole – should Goldust just go away at this point? I know they're doing this for comedy, and I know the roster's thin, and they need to fill a few hours' worth of programming, but – this really is just, to me, doesn't have any humor, doesn't have any lore. It's just, to me, kind of a meh sort of thing. Should Goldust just kind of leave already?
I'm surprised he's not retired yet.
Not really fighting. He's just kind of being funny.
But to me, the only way Goldust would work is if you paired him with Stardust, you know, as the Rose Brothers. But even that kind of fizzled out, and people really don't care for that. But right now, he's just comedy relief, which I don't mind since the roster's thin and we see more behind the scenes than in the ring lately. So I guess it's part of the show.
No, and that's fine. There was a lot of kind of out there humor gimmicks during the Attitude Era as well. So, I mean, I understand it as right now Jericho is coming out with his lit up jacket. One of those is what I want. Those things are actually hot. Can you imagine going to Manhattan and putting one of those jackets? It'd be like ladies galore. In one of my opinion here, though, on the Roman Reigns thing, is sometimes, you know, things don't always work right away. But there are ways to bump him up. There are ways to make him your guy. And, you know, there have been several guys that got over during the hot era of wrestling that maybe shouldn't have gotten over, really had no reason having that push, but they ended up getting it. I think that there are ways to win him over in the hearts of the fans, but you have all this money. He has money. The WWE has all this money. Get him some skills on the microphone, because you look at the way The Rock and the way Stone Cold won over the crowd. Yeah, their in-ring stuff was great, and JR promoted the hell out of both of them. The Rock won over the crowd. He was a heel. For those of you who don't remember, The Rock was a heel in the corporation, and he was actually kind of corny. People thought that SmackDown Hotel and Know Your Role, Jabroni, and that whole thing he used to do in 99 was really kind of corny. People didn't like it. Now, you know, he would just continue that. He would continue and continue and continue, and eventually it caught on to be the hottest thing that wrestling's probably ever seen. Now, you look at a guy who doesn't really talk. He's more physical. And he doesn't have that look. He doesn't have The Rock's look. He doesn't have that suave sunglasses and the silk shirts look. He's got that roughneck kind of a look. And, in fact, Roman, if you look at him, looks more like a heel than he does a face. You know, I would much rather see Roman being a heel based on how he looks, or at least be a tweener, at least be in between the two based on how he looks. But if you're going to try to push him the same way you push Cena, or the same way you push The Rock back in the day, or even Stone Cold, he just doesn't have that appeal, that allure. He doesn't have the mic skills yet. He's got some in-ring skills. The Superman punch is awesome. The spear is a little outdated. I think we've had double-digit superstars who have had a spear as a finishing move.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he just – I like the Superman punch thing. I like the fact that he's virtually indestructible. But, I mean, at this point, I think you got a better shot winning the – in fact, it's proven. It's not even a better shot. It's proven. The crowd gives a better response for Brock Lesnar than they do for Roman Reigns at this point. And Lesnar's supposed to be a heel. So, I mean, you really never know at this point. But I think Dean Ambrose – having Dean Ambrose turn on Roman Reigns, this is why we think the Shield might come back together. Because – you know, everyone thinks, oh, well, Seth Rollins is going to come back and they're going to reform the Shield. I think you have Dean turn on Roman. And that way, everyone loves Dean. Everyone wants Dean. Nobody likes Roman. You have Roman become a heel and bitter. And then, you know, Rollins comes back and he's whatever he is when he gets back. But I definitely think you should make Roman a heel. I just got the idea, because it's not working as a face. Sometimes you got to stick with it. The only reason The Rock worked sticking with it was because he could talk. Roman Reigns can't talk. And you know, The Rock used to say some things that were hilarious. regardless if he's a heel or not. He used to just be an enjoyable character to watch. Roman Reigns to me is like, I would rather watch paint dry than listen to him on the microphone. So, I mean, it is what it is. Speaking of the Shield possibly coming back at SummerSlam, though, who do you feel was the best member of the Shield?
I'm sticking with Dean Ambrose. I mean, he was the one that was the United States champion. He was the mouthpiece
okay.
back then. We didn't really hear much from Reigns. We didn't hear much from Rollins. It was all Dean Ambrose. You know, up until after the split, I always thought Dean was the leader until they kept referring to Seth Rollins as the architect. But I would definitely say Dean, his character development has been amazing because back then he was more like, you know, clean cut, badass. But now he's like full blown badass. And again, like he's been carrying the road to WrestleMania. He's been the hottest wrestler in the company, arguably, since the Royal Rumble.
Hands down.
And,
yeah.
And they're not promoting him right. Roman Reigns.
And,
I mean, he's just a big. He's just a. He's Batista with no charisma, in my opinion.
Zero.
But then again,
you know,
Batista had more moves. Batista had more moves.
Yeah, Batista was just really. They called him the animal. He really was just an animal. That's really what he was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He would just run through people, whereas Reigns doesn't quite do that. But I don't know. I just think oh, we should have asked Macho Man this. We'll get his take next week. But I definitely think Reigns should be a heel. He looks like a heel. He does talk, but he's physical. He's got all the heel makings and characteristics, the long hair, the tattoos, the whole black outfit thing. And, you know, I'm giving him a couple more months. If the face thing doesn't work out for him, have him do something. Have him turn on Ambrose. Have him, you know, do something and make him a heel. Because I think that will really boost his career. It's the only thing I can really see for him at this moment. They've already went ahead and ruined him.
Speaking of ruining, I'm starting to feel like they're ruining AJ Styles.
He's a tad bit mismanaged. I can see that.
Because, like, why are we going to get a Jericho-AJ Styles match again at WrestleMania? Like, we just saw them wrestle the last 2 months. You know, I think it's time to switch it up. Creative booking has been bad in the last couple of months. And I'm just
creative booking's been bad the last couple of years. Last couple of years
I mean,
it's been
really
bad.
It's really at an all-time worst now because of the depleted roster. So now we're really seeing their flaws. It's like you know, we always talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Without Romo, now you've seen how bad the quarterback position really was for the team. So without Cena, Cesaro, and a couple of the guys, now you're really seeing how bad the roster is.
Yeah, I was never a Cesaro guy. I know you're big on Cesaro. I was never wild about him. But, I mean, Cena really was the mouthpiece for Monday
yeah,
Night Raw.
Mr. Reliable.
And now he's gone. He's doing what he's doing. But to me, I don't know. I mean, now we got Neville versus Jericho. I think the only reason to have Jericho back in at all is to sort of bring this whole Attitude Era flair back and whatever. But to me, Chris Jericho didn't go to. Just get him out of there. They're not winning any titles. He's not doing anything fun. He was there to bring over AJ Styles. AJ Styles was already over. The top guy in TNA for 5 years. Let him
yeah.
do his thing. Let him, you know, let AJ Styles make a career for himself. Get Jericho out of there. Go back to playing guitar and singing and touring around the country and you know, making your appearance every 10 pay-per-views or whatever. No, I don't want to see Jericho every week.
Totally agree.
I'm just, Macho Man actually is blowing me up here. There we go. He was just texting me, told me that Miss Elizabeth is in the other room right now and is naked. So Macho Man is about to have a good time. I'm sitting here though. I'm looking at this Jericho Neville match. Why is Jericho Neville fighting at 10:44? Yeah, you can't tell me that this is technically the quote-unquote main event. Now, I missed the beginning of Raw, unfortunately. Is the Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar thing, is that going on tonight, or are they just talking about WrestleMania?
No, they were just talking about WrestleMania.
Okay.
You know, Dean was talking about, you know, how she came up short Saturday night, and then Brock and them came out, started talking, you know, making this speech, and then Dean pulled out a crowbar. And then, of course, later in the night, Mick Foley, you know, gave him the
old bat with the barbed wire fence around it from the classic Attitude Era days. Definitely something he's going to need for that WrestleMania fight, because I don't know how is it going to be a wrestling match, or it's going to be, it has to be just a street fight.
It's
going to
be a
some crazy.
Yeah.
It's got to
be
some crazy, you know.
Hard or something. Yeah.
Brass, no, I need to see blood. For God's sakes, I need to see blood in that match.
Unfortunately,
well,
it's going
to be Dean's blood.
There was blood tonight. You know, I mean, Triple H has been busted open by Roman Reigns, so I definitely think it'll happen. I think the whole anti-blood thing was kind of stupid a couple years ago that they did. You know, it didn't make it nearly as exciting. You don't have to bleed every night. You don't have to have it every match, but at least have it, you know, every week, at least once maybe, but I don't know. I mean, blood just makes it, when it's called for, when it's warranted, you can't have a Saw movie as your Raw show, but, you know,
yeah.
make it interesting and make the blood there when the blood needs to be there. I think people are too sheltered nowadays and too offended by that kind of stuff, and it's kind of a shame. Now, I'm looking at this here, and you look at storylines from a lot of this. Undertaker, he's going to come out. Like I said, I've mentioned I've never seen him come out live. I've been to several WWE shows. It was either between him being out on injury or his transition between American Badass and Dead Man. I've never actually seen him come out with the scary, you know, type thing, the scary persona that he's doing. I have seen this, however.
Dead Man Walking.
Now, which Undertaker do you feel was better? I mean, now, I ask that because, obviously, you said it's kind of an eerie thing to see the Undertaker Dead Man persona come out. That was a pretty cool one, to see him come out in the motorcycle and all that. Which Undertaker do you feel at WrestleMania would be the more imposing figure for Shane to have to face? The guy on the motorcycle who just is the American Badass and doesn't care, and he's, you know, spits tobacco everywhere, and he's got the headband, and he's still the same size, but he's just that American Badass? Or do you feel that they should stick with the Dead Man persona that he's in the last couple of years?
I think now they need to, like, bury the Dead Man persona and bring back the American Badass. Just because the streak is already gone, the streak is over. Like, let the Undertaker be who he is. Let him be the badass that he is. And I really enjoyed those eras of WrestleMania matches he had, like the first Triple H match, I think it was WrestleMania 17, his WrestleMania match with Ric Flair. When he came out with the bike, he came out and as a badass. At this point, Shane's he's a glorified stuntman anyway from back in the days. Let it be a classic, you know, let it be a badass versus a McMahon. Let it be that thrilling match. We don't need the whole spectacle of the Phenom and all of that. Just let it be the badass Undertaker versus the privileged son who thinks he's a badass, Shane McMahon, and let him fight.
Now, who is going to be, or I should say somebody who is going to be at WrestleMania, who I also feel like, yeah, they're just giving him the, you know, the nod to be there simply to get people interested, but really I don't think it's going to serve any purpose.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
So The Rock will be there. I don't know Cassidy, he's going to be there, but, I mean, Rock, put him in a match, man. Don't just have him be there walking around. I mean, yeah, maybe he'll cut a promo or something, but just don't just put him there to put him there. Make a Rock appearance meaningful, you know?
I have two theories about The Rock. I have two theories. One, well, the reason he's not in the match is because a lot of these movies now, because of his last match with Cena, he got hurt. And I forgot what movie it was. It postponed production for a while.
So now a lot of these movies put in that policy, like, hey, Rock, you know, we know you love your wrestling, but you can't do this while you're filming on set. So that's why he's not really wrestling, but he can still interact. And I'm starting to either believe that he's going to cause Triple H to lose or he's going to cause The Undertaker to lose and do what he did a couple years ago with The Miz, where he came, you know, when he came in and helped The Miz win against John Cena and then challenged Cena to WrestleMania match the following year the next night. I could see something like that. Triple H and The Rock had great chemistry. They had great classic matches, numerous matches back in the Attitude Era. Same thing with The Undertaker, but The Undertaker's own were like pretty much, they weren't memorable. And I'm pretty sure The Undertaker wouldn't mind getting a hold of The Rock or John Cena. But I think something like that could happen at WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, if The Rock and The Undertaker, if The Rock and Undertaker, you know, go at it at WrestleMania, they're going to have to do that show. I mean, forget Dallas. They're going to have to do that show from a nursing home. So, I mean, those guys are getting a little old now. I would not want to see that match. This guy, is he ever going to fight again? Are we going to see Stone Cold again or not?
In the ring, nah. We'll see him at WrestleMania. But in the ring, I think those days are over. There's no real reason for him to come back. Who would he fight? Unless it's like a Cena or that's
well,
it.
I mean, he was teasing the fact that he might have one more match in him. I don't know.
Unless it was,
would you like to see him versus like Lesnar?
I could see him versus maybe, well, not Lesnar. Lesnar might hurt him in the ring. Maybe someone like a Shane. Like, that's who I felt Shane should have been fighting a one-offer, not someone like who's been in the ring still and still in great ring shape like The Undertaker. I mean, maybe someone who's like a super part-timer like a Stone Cold.
You know, I could see it. You know who I would like to see again, but I know he's getting a little old? Basically, Kurt Angle, to me, I think was awesome. I wasn't a huge fan of him at first, but watching those old WWF clips from 2001, I actually enjoy Angle. He was a great wrestler in the ring. I would like to see him. He's old now, and I know he had a career in TNA for a while.
Yeah, he just retired this past week. Last week was his last match on TNA.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
I mean,
he wanted to come back, but I don't know. Triple H didn't want to sign him. Triple H wanted him to work a full-time schedule, and, you know, Kurt Angle didn't deserve that, so he said no.
Well, he needs the full-time schedule because he doesn't have a roster right now. He doesn't have anybody to choose from, Triple H, I mean, so that's why he needs a full-time type thing. But Kurt Angle's old now. He's 40-something years old. Let him do his thing, you know? I don't know. We also saw this guy at Roadblock. And, you know, I enjoyed it because Jack Swagger, I don't know, maybe it's my inner racist, I don't know, but I enjoyed the whole Zeb Coulter, you know, put one hand over your heart and the we the people thing. I like that. I understand why they got rid of it because everyone's so offended by everything nowadays, but, you know, Zeb Coulter's whole rant about Mexicans and all that other stuff and his whole thing, I liked that whole sort of persona. But obviously I understand now with the way things are that they can't do that right now if they want to, you know, not have pounds of flack and negative publicity. But I enjoyed that. Zach, I think Jack Swagger sort of got mismanaged a bit too, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. He should have been the next Kurt Angle instead of being the next Patriot. Like it's sad what they did to Jack Swagger, considering that he was a former world champion. God, how many world champions do you have that are just like buried now?
Oh, so many. And I mean, Ziggler even lost to Triple H tonight. He was a former champion. He really has been sort of a mid card guy. There's been a lot of Cody Rhodes was a world champion at one point. So I mean, and look what he's doing now with this whole stupid Stardust persona that I hate. So I don't know. It's one of those things. The League of Nations, who you don't enjoy, is all former world champions. But I don't know. I mean, they've got their guy. Roman Reigns seems to be their guy right now. Obviously, right now they're showing plays of everything that had happened. Now here comes the boss. This is going to be the good part. This is going to be the Undertaker confronting the two of them. So what I will do is we're going to wait on Dustin here, and I will keep Raw on. I will keep it live and loud, and I will put the volume up so you guys can hear it sort of as we hear it. We'll give our take here on it. But here comes McMahon again with the power walk coming down.
Vince is in tremendous shape. I mean, if he wasn't so old, maybe like shaved 5 or 6 years off his age, he might compete. He might have competed in a WrestleMania match.
He could. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, he is getting
Vince
a little old.
Vince is Bowie. Look at that sign.
That was funny.
At SummerSlam, I'm going to show you, and I'm going to show the world, I am the game!
I definitely think Triple H should keep the belt through SummerSlam and drop it there. I just don't want to see Roman Reigns get it. But I play that to say this. I don't feel like he's going to be – I think if he does beat Roman Reigns at Mania after what happened tonight, I don't think he's going to – I think Shane would strip him of the title. I really do. But, again, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen here? What I maybe would like to see is if he does somehow get by Reigns at WrestleMania, maybe do an open tournament. Maybe do a March Madness-style tournament finally for the right to win it, like vacate the title, have Roman Reigns not involved in it, and have a sort of a bracket of wrestlers who the winner is awarded the title. That might be cool.
Hmm. That might be good.
So, Vince McMahon in the ring right now talking. We got 3 minutes left in the normal television schedule here, so this could be another 11:15 night. It's very, very possible. As right now, Vince McMahon's going to talk, and McMahon's going to come out, get a big pop. Do you think The Undertaker does anything memorable tonight? Like, remember before when he was going to face Brock Lesnar? I think it was about 3 weeks before. And actually, no, it wasn't. It was the week before Mania. He came out, and he put Brock through the table, through the contract signing table. When he was facing the Wyatt, he lit the chair on fire, had the whole urn, the whole thing. Last week, he came out and just choked McMahon, and that's it. He left. You know, do you think Undertaker does anything memorable right here?
I think the Undertaker might try to grab Shane, and Shane breaks out of it using that mixed martial arts training that he's getting, and just flees the ring, showing some speed and, a little resilience. I could see something like that happening. To have Shane get, take a choke slam, it would defeat the purpose, because we know that's pretty much possible. That's believable. They got to do something to sell the match.
Yeah, but I think just the names alone sort of sell the match. But again, it's not a match that I'm a big fan of per se. But I think names alone will sell it. Well, McMahon is talking here. If you have to put a percentage, oh wait a minute, never mind. We'll do it in a second. The gong just went off. That means it's Undertaker. So turn this up. I was gonna play some, but I'll do it after this. Where's Shane? McMahon's out here by himself.
I don't like that. I don't like how Vince just calls out for the Undertaker to come out, and then we hear his music and the pyro comes on. That's not the Undertaker I want to see at this stage in his career.
He's got to come out when he wants to come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be that guy that's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And I also kind of want to see that the mind games, too. The lights going off and the gongs, and then nobody's there. And then they're looking at him like, what the hell? know, or something, some sort of the old mind games he used to play. Because no, there he is. There's the 53-year-old. I mean,
Sarah's ex-husband.
Yeah, which I noticed he's got the tat around his neck that is covered up now. Did you think she was attractive?
Say it again?
Did you think that she was attractive?
No, she was okay. What's his current wife's name? Michelle Cool?
Yeah, Michelle McCool. She's a smoke show.
She's a smoke show. He definitely upgraded right there.
She's also 20 years younger than he is. So, I mean, I don't know if he's robbing the cradle or what he's doing, but I mean, at least Sarah was similar in age to him when they were together back in the day. But
right.
I mean, Michelle McCool is like, put it this way. He's like the high school principal dating the high school cheerleader. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's like at this point. So, and I'm sitting here listening to this current commentary team talk, and you know, I'm just praying to God that I can just hear one more time. And there's the gong. Business is about to pick up. You know, I just want to hear that, or you know, something, just something by Jim Ross. Now, okay, they bring back these guys, and I'm going to propose this here before Undertaker starts talking. They bring back these guys on part-time deals. The Rock, obviously, you know, Undertaker's part-time, this and that. Do you feel that they should bring JR back for WrestleManias and have JR call the WrestleMania? Maybe replace Byron Saxton and replace JBL or one of them, and have JR do WrestleMania and if, you know, on a part time thing, and have him do only maybe once a year or something like that.
Not only they should bring him back part time, they should bring him back to help work out with talent relationships in the back, get these guys some mic skills. You know, down not
That's
just
true
the announce team is bad, not just the announce team is bad, but like half the roster is terrible on the mic.
Well, do you notice when he left, when he parted ways with the WWE, the talent went way down? Because he was in charge of all that stuff.
He was in charge of all that, yep.
So McMahon is talking here. We'll sort of give you a recap of what he says. It's going to sound bad if you hear the TV in the background. But we'll give you a little bit of a recap here of what McMahon is going to say here. Undertaker, so skinny looking now. He's still an imposing figure, but... Now, do you like the MMA gloves with the dead man look? It's weird.
It's weird, but then again, this goes back to it would have been perfect with the American Badass look.
Yeah, it would have. Taker, look at this guy. He's unbuttoning.
Where's Kane?
You know, I'm not sure. See how skinny he looks now? He's melting off his skeleton. He just doesn't look the same as he used to. Huh. Tattoos are all faded. Oh, here comes the eye roll. There it is. Now, I liked the Undertaker-Lesnar thing. That was good, but Undertaker-Shane, I can't get behind it. We'll get into that a little bit after the segment, but... So, Vince McMahon now antagonizing the Undertaker here.
It's like, I want you to beat up my son.
And it's funny because you mentioned him being a hired gun. That's how McMahon's treating him right now. Like mm-hmm. he's treating Undertaker like he's the reason why he's coming back to do this. I want to see McMahon get chokeslammed tonight. Vince McMahon, not Shane.
I could see that. I wouldn't mind seeing that either.
Is he too old at this point, you think, to do the last ride?
Oh, he's too old for the last ride, but he's not too old for a chokeslam.
Or a tombstone. Real quick, which finisher you think was better? The Undertaker's, did you like the last ride, or did you enjoy the chokeslam tombstone kind of combo?
See, when he was younger, I loved the tombstone. As he progressed in age, I definitely loved the last ride.
Hmm.
Like again, one of my favorite WrestleMania matches of all time was not the Triple H, the last two Triple H Undertaker matches, but it was the very first one where he caught him with the last ride out of nowhere and won that match. It was good.
Last Ride was intense because he not only would he pick them up, but he would put them then up over his head as well, which is hard to do with a, you know, 200 to 300 pound person. So I just wanted to go show you the strength that he used to have. As Shane McMahon comes out here in his throwback Nikes.
Did you hear about this? I did hear about this on Twitter that Nike, Jordan Brand has been sending Shane exclusive sneakers ever since they saw him come out with the first Jordan on his return a couple weeks ago.
Oh, they have been. I did not hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, that wow. that was leaked literally like 2 weeks ago on Complex Magazine. They confirmed it.
Hey, you're an internet guy. I'm assuming you're into shoes and things too.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this whole Damn Daniel thing?
No, what's that about?
Oh, it's the most ridiculous thing. Basically, it's this high school kid who his friend Daniel wears white Vans. Basically, The whole video is just him going, "Damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white Vans." Like just and it's all the Vine posts, and the whole thing of him just focusing on his shoes and going, "Damn, Daniel." And it's like the stupidest thing ever because his voice is just retarded. It's just an awful voice. And it was trending all over the place. It was on SportsCenter earlier in the week. So, I mean, it's all over the place right now, and it's the dumbest thing. So, for a while, I was like, I hate shoes. But after the Shane McMahon Fly Jordans, I'm starting to shoes better again. There we go. Shane McMahon having to look up at The Undertaker.
Oh, man. I didn't realize the height difference was that much.
It's huge. Shane, you're not. Shane messing up the mic already here. Shane O'Mac, he is.
You know, after seeing him in the ring, I'm starting to sway a little bit. I don't know how Shane's going to win this match or make it even look competitive.
Speed, possibly?
We probably, man, I hope the Mean Street Posse is training right now, too, because we're going to need to see an appearance by them and a few others.
Hell, you're going to need Spirit Squad and the Mean Street Posse.
Bring them all out. Dolph is looking for a match. Hey, bring them out.
I mean, are they really going to taint The Undertaker that way, though, to have him lose again? I mean, everyone was shocked when he lost the first time. Let's see what he has to say. Voice. I love that voice. Okay. And even more so than WrestleMania itself, these are my legacy. Well, not really. They're not really a legacy. You've helped carry this company on your back. You are the phenom. You are the measuring stick. That's why I'm so shocked. Yeah, exactly, Shane. He's the measuring stick. He's the legacy of the company. So why taint his record even more to beat him in the Hell in a Cell? I don't know. I don't like it. I told you from the onset of the match I didn't like it. I think it should be Shane versus Vince for control of the company. Not Undertaker, I think they just threw in for ratings.
Sure. Yeah, it's pretty much all it is.
Well, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be a no contest. I really do. I don't see them giving The Undertaker another loss or him agreeing to another one.
So then how does Shane get power? They do a second match or all for nothing? You're just
Vince's fish.
Oh.
There he goes. Choke slam. Get him. Oh, Shane got out of the choke slam.
What I told you.
But yeah, I definitely think that they do. It ends in no contest. Both men down for the 10 count. Definitely think it ends that way, and then he beats him the next night on Raw. But he's not. Don't beat him. Yeah, I definitely think both men down for the 10 count, incapacitated. Match ends in no contest. He beats him the next night on Raw. Oh, there goes Vince too. Vince sliding out of the ring.
Oh, man.
Give him a tombstone. Wait a minute. Kane. Are we going to see Kane? No, probably, we probably won't see Kane.
Oh, I want to see Kane. Love Kane.
I need my Kane.
Vince McMahon, Father of the Year, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no question he's Father of the Year. If he's Father of the Year, Honey Boo Boo is Mother of the Year. So Undertaker comes out, chokeslam Shane. See, this is
Shane's
interesting.
Shane's going to have to work on selling that better.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of selling it better, did you see when Roman Reigns was throwing Triple H's head against the announce table? It was clearly the most, like, it really did not look realistic at all.
Nothing Roman Reigns does looks realistic. That's the
problem. That's true. Yeah, I think so. He's just, he's like a lumbering thing in the ring. He doesn't, I don't know. I'm not wild about his in-ring skills or his mic skills personally, but again, I think he should definitely be a heel. 18 minutes left to go here. It's 11-11, so go ahead and make a wish. My wish is that the Attitude Era was back and that Jim Ross was back. But again, I'm never going to get that wish, unfortunately. 18 minutes
we
left
might
to
get
go.
Jim
we, heard...
Ross. We might get Jim Ross back.
We
might get
may
him back.
At some point. I one can only hope. You know who I would love to see? Who I would love to see face Brock Lesnar? Now, this guy is dead as no, excuse me, he's not dead. His career is dead. But he's one of those guys who I think the only guy who had a more intimidating entrance than Brock Lesnar. Can you imagine Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar?
Oh, that'd have been epic.
It almost had a shot to happen, too, back in the day. Of course, Lesnar wasn't as elevated as he is now in terms of being just an unstoppable beast. But, yeah, he is he's an interesting cat, to say the least. I definitely would like to see the two of them. Again, we've heard from Macho Man today. We're waiting on Dustin here to give us a call. 17 minutes left to go and over the ropes, the fourth show. Again, we had some great live listeners last week. The chat box is now blowing up about the Macho Man. Some people didn't know he was dead, so I guess we just ruined some people's holidays. Man would have a lot to say about that because that was Hulk Hogan's NWO music for a while. Macho Man is probably turning over. He's probably, you want to talk about anger banging with Elizabeth. Good God, she's probably not going to be able to sit down in her heavenly chair for a while after hearing that. The music means Dustin has made his arrival here after Raw. The co-founder of Overtime.News. Dustin, what's going on?
Not too much. So what's the deal with this whole Vince and Shane crap that's going on? I mean, have you subscribed to the fact that, like, I have a crazy theory. I have a theory that what they're planning is they want to potentially piss Taker off so much that he throws the match to give Shane control of the business. Do you see that happening?
Hmm.
I mean,
because it's completely obvious that just for the exact same reasons that we've talked about in the past, where the little guy never stands a chance against the big guy unless he's completely got talent through the roof, like an HBK or a Rollins. But Shane doesn't have that talent, okay? So we all know that there's no way in hell this match I mean, it would be the end of the WWE as we know it. It's already on life support, but it would be pulling the plug if fairly Shane beats The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So we know that's not going to happen. We know some sort of interference is going to happen, or you get Vince with this whole "you're my puppet, you're my baby" bullshit that pushes The Undertaker so far over the edge that maybe through a fight, Shane gains The Undertaker's respect by taking just a beating, right? And maybe Vince comes out. Like, picture this. Hell in a Cell, Vince comes out after Shane's just done, like just a vegetable on the ground. And then eventually you could see somehow the Taker just being like, you know what, screw you. And he like lays down and pulls Shane's arm over him or something, you know? And then boom, one, two, three. And maybe that could even be the best way for Taker to go out, you know, as like that last, like, you know, defiant, because there was a lot of people that said that this WrestleMania was supposed to be Taker's last one. So I don't know. I just think that's been in my head for a while now, ever since I saw Vince with the, you know, my creation against my worst whatever. And I think that there's resistance from Taker, which makes no sense for the plot if it's not used somehow in the match.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I think the whole match is stupid. I think if it was going to be Vince versus Shane McMahon for control of the company, I think it should be father versus son, Shane versus Vince. I think the fact that they put Undertaker in at all was just to sort of save ratings a little bit.
Yeah, but we knew that from the look of Vince, you know, half his face is droopy. He's had a stroke or something. So, I mean, because old Vince would have taken a choke slam from Taker tonight, but today's Vince just rolled the fuck out of the ring in the most non-athletic way possible. So
yeah,
he may be able to hit a treadmill casually and do some bicep curls, but he's not doing much else at his age anymore. I hate to break it to you guys. So there's no way that Shane and Vince was going to happen. I mean, this is just realistic. You know, at some point, even the guys that are in the best shape, even Undertaker is going to hit 60 and he will not be able to move. And that's just the facts. So you can't beat Father Time. Everybody knows that in every sport. So that was my one point. And the only other thing I wanted to is when I was listening to the show earlier, and you guys are Hall of Fame this, Hall of Fame that. What are the credentials for the WWE Hall of Fame? You got fucking Drew Carey in the WWE Hall of Fame. It's such a joke. Think about if we compared the WWE Hall of Fame to regular sports Hall of Fames. There, half the people in there shouldn't be there. Like, I could argue that after Hogan, despite his racist bullshit, after Hogan, there's Austin, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, and I can't think of that many other people that belong in there. Bret Hart, maybe. But you know, these left and right, Psycho Sid, Jason said. I disagree with that completely. Psycho Sid was a diet version of Cool Daddy Diesel. Like he didn't do jack shit. He was as useless as you could get on a roster. All he was good for was coming out and disrupting something. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who couldn't talk on the mic. So I just think Edge and Christian, are you fucking kidding me? In the Hall of Fame? What the fuck did they do?
How about like they put the tag team
No. The Hardys, the Dudleys, they all collectively put the division on the line. On the map. Don't you dare tell me that Edge and Christian were the icons they were the most boring tag team out of all of those guys that we just mentioned. Edge and Christian.
We pause for 5 seconds for flash photography, for those for the benefit of flash photography.
Well, but this is my point. Out of all the guys that we mentioned that were in that iconic tag team division, they were the ones that couldn't do shit off the top rope. Hell, even Big Fat Devon and Bubba Ray were doing shit off the top rope, but Edge and Christian didn't
shit.
So I'm sorry. I just don't give any credit to Edge and Christian. I think they don't belong there at all. I mean, I know you have a crush on Edge, and I that's fine. But
a man crush. Man crush Mondays.
other than his original.
You think you know me?
That's the best part of Edge right there. That was it.
Oh,
nothing
in the
ring. It was his entrance. That was it.
Wait,
I would argue that Gangrel's entrance with the Hardys and Edge and Christian was the best entrance
that
of all.
That was
But this is my point. I don't think the Hall of Fame means anything anymore. Like, I just found out Jacqueline's going into the Hall of Fame. Like, other than being like remotely attractive when Sable was around, like, she didn't do jack shit. So this is my point. It seems like everybody's getting into the Hall of Fame, and that's not the point. The Hall of Fame is supposed to be the biggest honor. You can't have like 50 people already in there unless you've been around for 200 years.
So what you're saying is you don't
order of your roster so far.
So you don't think Edge and Christian should get in?
No, God, no, I don't think.
It doesn't matter what you think.
No, I really don't think that Edge and Christian should be in there. I don't think Psycho Sid belongs or should even get invited to the party. I don't even think the Macho Man, I don't think Macho belongs in there because I don't think Macho did jack shit compared to Hogan. And I don't.
You don't
think
Macho Man belongs in the Hall of Fame?
No, think about it like this, guys. Think about the WWE Hall
of Fame. He's going to have some words for you next week, Dustin.
Think about the WWE Hall of Fame in comparison to the NBA Hall of Fame. Let's just use NBA. Macho Man is like Charles Barkley. He's a guy that was like, that second-tier guy. He wasn't Jordan. He wasn't, you know, I'm trying to think of like those dynamic Malone, Stockton. He wasn't those guys. He was tier two. So if you use guys like The Rock, that's a Jordan. Stone Cold, that's a Jordan. Bret Hart, Jordan. HBK, Jordan. But don't tell me that guys like Psycho Sid, Edge and Christian, those are B-level players. Those are guys that are, if they're lucky, they might win one championship in the NBA.
Well,
so
I mean, look at who's in here. I'm going through the list here. I mean, Pat Patterson. Let's see. Harley Race.
Give me a break.
Jesse the Body Ventura. Sergeant Slaughter.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. Joe Santana. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Awful.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
But this is my point. They're great legends. Right? There's a reason why when you buy the video games, you get Raw roster, SmackDown, then you get a Legends roster. There should be a Legends and a Hall of Fame roster. I'm sorry, but the Legends aren't going to all make the Hall of Fame. You've got to just make that call.
Not.
Triple H, the fact that Triple H is not in the Hall of Fame yet blows my mind, but we're going to let fucking Psycho Sid, Edge, and Christian in? I don't care if it's because he's actively in the ring. Big deal. Taker's actively in the ring. Isn't Taker already in the Hall of Fame?
No.
No, he's not in yet.
No, not yet.
So what about The Rock, who was wrestling and was always in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, yeah. What?
Wait, let me see. Is Rock
in? No, he's not in.
No, he's not in yet. No.
So are there any active people that are doing, like, random show up in wrestling that are Hall of Fame?
That's what I'm looking for right now. Well, Flair and Hulk Hogan, before they kicked him off the air for this racist stuff, Mick Foley was there tonight. He's in.
Sean does his random show up things, but he doesn't wrestle.
Yep. Booker T is still somewhat involved.
Come on,
he's in.
Booker T's in the fucking Hall of Fame, guys.
He is in. Yes.
But
Five-time WCW champion.
It doesn't make sense. You have to make the Hall of Fame mean something. Otherwise, you might as well let everybody in and then it means jet. Like, how can you possibly tell me that Edge and Booker T are on Stone Cold, The Rock, and Shawn Michaels level?
I don't know. Well, wait. So you don't think Booker T should be, though?
No. Not even close.
Oh, Lita's in, too. Lita, Rikishi's in.
Listen. I have no problem with the females as much as I do as the guys because there was such a depleted roster.
Well,
Lita was
okay.
Also a big time deal in the women's division. It was Lita
that's
and Trish
true.
Stratus for a long time carrying
both
it.
Both of which are
so,
in. Yes.
So I don't mind Lita being in. I don't mind Trish. Hell, I don't mind Tori Wilson, but she's a perfect example of a Booker T who doesn't belong there, but is there because we're just looking for people to induct. Like, come on, like. China belongs in the Hall of Fame. Like, China changed the game. Like, there are people that belong in that aren't, and there are people that are in that are they should not be there.
If you're Farouk is in. Celebrity, Ron Simmons.
Yeah, Farouk, are you kidding me? Like, if you're going to do a celebrity sector of the Hall of Fame, I get it. fine. You can have the guys that showed up every once in a while, like Jon Stewart and Drew Carey and Pete Rose, but you can't just have one word, the WWE Hall of Fame, put up this cool golden logo, hand out rings, and then tell me that guys like Psycho Sid are getting in. Pretty soon you're going to have Santino getting in. You're going to have fucking Doink the Clown. Like, come on. You can't just induct people because of I don't even know what. You can't, like, there should be some kind of criteria. You should have to have, like, wrestled at bare minimum 300 matches or something, and you should have had to have held a title in multiple divisions, like WWE and Intercontinental, European. Like, there should be a criteria so that way people can actually really, really respect the decisions. Like,
well, you want to talk about criteria. Jesse the Body Ventura is in. His criteria next to him listed is one-time AWA World Tag Team Champion, former commentator for WWE and WCW. That's it.
But
that's
see,
what it says.
Guys, but Jason, do you see how big of a problem this is? Like, this is who's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I see the argument.
Mr. Atlas,
and
Call
they gotta
USA.
Be, and they gotta be more mindful because they're building an actual Hall of Fame now. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. They're building one in
yeah.
Orlando, and they're hoping to open before WrestleMania next year. So, I
guess they're building
it
down
with
Duffman. He can go pee in the parking lot or something.
But I kind of agree with Dustin in terms of like Triple H guys that are on the roster now are well qualified to be, and they shouldn't have to wait until they retire. Like, I'm pretty sure we could all agree that Kurt Angle's probably going to go in next year now that he's retired from TNA, and he could come back home and get a legend deal and go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'd agree with Angle. I agree that I guess it makes sense that if you're active, you don't go in because you can't, as an active player in the MLB, wait. You have to wait 6 years, right, until you can get in. So right. There does need to be a waiting period, maybe a year after official retirement, which is what happened to Sean. And same thing with Stone Cold. He was out for a while. But this is my point. If we're going to keep doing these Rock cameos, the motherfucker's never going to be in because he's going to be showing up on the show when he's 60. You know, like, he just doesn't go away. So we need to figure out something. But there needs to be criteria. Like I said, I think it would be a great idea if it was like a minimum matches wrestled thing and you had to hold like one of each belt or a multiple of belts, not just a one-time WWE guy. Like, I hate to break it to you guys, but I don't think Kevin Nash should be in the Hall of Fame if he is or if he isn't yet.
He just got in last year. He was the most recent inductee.
Real quick, guys. Now, Daniel Bryan's retired. You think they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame next year?
They will out of sentimental value because of his neck, but he doesn't deserve it. One-time champion? Really?
Got a point. Yeah.
Very, very true. And this is a debate.
CM Punk deserves to be in the Hall of Fame more than Daniel Bryan.
There's no way that's ever going to happen. We're going to get into this a little bit next week. I think that this is a good carryover topic. I also want to get Macho Man's opinion on it next week. Dustin, feel free to call in a little sooner next time. Minute 30 left to go. Overtime.news. Off the ropes, Jason and Chris. Great show today, and we're hoping to have another great one as the road to WrestleMania continues. We'll see y'all next week.
Dead man walking.
You've done it now.
You've gone and made a big mistake.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around.
The cost of personality.
Punk should be in the Hall of Fame.
Nope.